Welcome to
Got Your Milk!
FX is the Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me are the two people who should always be with me. This is the correct hosting group for this podcast.
I can't tell you how excited I am that we have...
Well, who's that talking? First up, it's my co-host, Mork. Mork, how are you doing this good evening?
I'm doing so swell, Bubba. How are you?
Well, I am especially happy. Because back from a two-week sabbatical, we have all found a way to miss podcasts this season.
What does that
say about the Strain? With us is everybody's favorite actor, favorite Strigoi lover. It is Catfish. Catfish.
Hey, thank you so much. I have taken the white, and I am back and feeling strong.
You look
strong. Heck yeah. Guys, we just saw episode 10 of season 2, The Assassin.
Oh, thank God. The last episode of the season was great.
Yeah, what a cliffhanger to leave. Oh, wait, there are more episodes to come this year.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, yes.
Heck yeah.
I cannot wait.
And I know we're saying I know. I don't want to. We're going to have our ratings in a bit. But during this episode, there was a moment that Catfish loved so much. He said, I want to take this down verbatim, exactly the way they say it. He loved it so much. So we begin every episode with our rating out of 10. Mork, let's go to you. You are sometimes in the middle of a positive and a negative.
Yeah.
This episode 10 of season 2, what are you going to give it?
Well, it's fitting that it's episode 10.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Because I am going to give it 6.
What?
Flights of stairs in Coco's building.
Oh, my goodness. There were only 3 flights of stairs.
She lives on the 3rd floor, but there's actually 6 flights in the building.
Oh, okay.
If you look carefully on the outside.
So
strong
6 out of 10.
6 out of 10.
Well, I guess, I don't want you to give away your UV light, your favorite scene,
all
or
right.
your spoiled milk, spilt milk scene.
Okay, sure.
But what was the overriding feeling about the episode to earn a 6?
Well, you know, I felt there was some interesting things happening, but at the end of the day, I felt like we moved sideways, not forward. So that's my big problem. Sorry, guys.
Ouch. That is, it was a 6 out of 10.
There was some good stuff. Let's be honest. There was some good stuff.
There was some stuff. Let's go to you, Catfish. Catfish, you've had a couple weeks off, and you say you liked last week's episode.
Can you tell us how
the
much
battle,
you liked last week's
episode?
Yeah,
the battle of Red Hook you liked. So what did you feel about the Assassin? How many UV lights out of 10?
I am going to give it 5 goateed plainclothes detectives out of 10.
More handsome than necessary.
Wow, that's even lower than Mork. So why don't you, what earned that 5?
Well, I mean, I have to admit, part of it is that even though I felt it was obvious they were setting up Coco to be undercover, the fact that I was so completely wrong about that and what you've been telling me for 2 episodes is right, that they were going to put Coco in danger, it still just feels ridiculous. All the like knowing glances and the unsubtleties. Very upsetting. Also, how many times do we have to get our heroes put in jail only for them to be sprung 10 minutes later?
Yes, in fact, what you're talking about, Catfish, is what one of our wonderful members of Strigoi Team 7 tweeted out. It's Romy134, who's at the Kindly Boy on Twitter. They tweeted when Coco took that bullet, they said, well, there goes Catfish's theory of Coco being a plant. And actually, when you're brain dead, you're technically a vegetable, not a plant. But they believed your theory, Catfish, and now they don't think Coco was a plant.
Well, okay, but time out.
You know what would be amazing, though, is if she is actually a plant. So when she woke up, she's like oh, my God, I mean, I went undercover, and I had to become undead for this gig? That would be even better.
You realize who we're counting on to execute this plan?
Who?
Not on Quinlan. Not on anybody competent, but on our alcoholic CDC doctor murderer. This could be the plan, and he still could have shot her.
As usual, he effed it up.
Yes, he did. Classic.
Yes. So now it's time, listeners, for me, Bubba, to give my rating, and I'm always the toughest critic. But because last week Mork was talking me off the ledge, I approached this episode with some non-ledge thought process. I was thinking, I'm going to take what's fun from it. I'm going to take what's fun from it, what's kind of enjoyable about it. And there were moments in this episode that I actually did enjoy a bit. So I'm going to give this what I like to call 8 AA's. Whoa. Out of 10.
Double A's?
Yeah, double A's, like the battery. But that's not what I'm referring to, believe it or not. Double A is what I like to refer to when I go. It's actually a triple A.
Triple A.
Jeez. Yeah, it's what I like to refer to when it's an assistant Aussie assassin.
Ooh.
So Dutch was assisting the assassination.
Yeah.
But I forgot she was from Australia. That's Foster for victim and not in the book. And so the fact that there were some enjoyable parts, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Let's get to... Wow.
Now, I forgot. The thing that really upset me the most about this, we've seen a lot of unbelievable things on this show, but tonight was a bridge too far.
No.
Okay. The bridge to Brooklyn, where Coco's apartment was?
No. The most unbelievable thing ever happened tonight.
What was that?
No. Well, Dutch claimed she was not hot when she was younger, and I do not believe that for 1 second.
I can actually see that though.
Oh no.
I can see
that.
Oh no. Yep. I can see her being, she's a little clumsy, a little awkward. I can totally see it.
All right. So listeners, we want you to enjoy the rest of this podcast, but we want to mention we've got something brand new for you to check out. And that is a new Facebook page. Why do we have a new Facebook page?
Why?
Well, I have to be honest, only because of other podcasts ask for Facebook pages. We ask you wonderful listeners to join Sturgoy Team 7. We ask you to tweet at us. Why? Because apparently that's what you do.
We're
when you
really
have a podcast.
Needy.
I know. I ask you.
Why are we so needy?
I ask you to give us iTunes reviews, and you're like, well, why did this Bubba ask for iTunes reviews?
Maybe
and
we should start asking for something better.
Right. It's mainly because other podcasts I listen to always say, give us a review on iTunes. So I'm like, oh, that may be important. And so now a lot of podcasts I listen to have been saying, hey, and give us a, you know, visit our Facebook page and like our Facebook page. So, yeah. Listeners, you can go to Facebook. It's facebook.com/PPodcasts, and you can find out all the latest and greatest information from Mork, Catfish, and Bubba on all our endeavors. Now, what are our endeavors, you may
be wondering? Well, I hope that, like other podcasts, they include advertisements so that we can make some change off this.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Catfish.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Uh-huh.
This is our inaugural week of sponsorship by the new iPhone.
Oh, the new iPhone.
Apple is sponsoring this episode. The new iPhone's great. It comes in pink. And
there'll be a lot of editing tonight, folks.
And you'll
folks.
Get a free iPhone.
All right, so listeners, what are all our podcasts? Well, if you're a fan of George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire book series or the HBO television series Game of Thrones, you can go and check out our podcast entitled The Joffrey of Podcasts. If you're a fan of the BBC miniseries Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, you can go there. And let me say, we are starting off a new podcast. We're going to read this book, and every chapter we're going to release a new podcast. That's right, we're doing a read along of the Akado Lumen. So anyway, folks,
every time we try to read it though,
but we'll be reading it in the Old English. So only if you know Old English will you be able to understand what we're saying. Now we are planning to do a new podcast that will be at the end of October. And that will be for Star's new, I wanted to say great series. We haven't seen it yet. I can only hope that it is great. Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Oh, snap.
Right. So how to get updates about that and to like a Facebook page, because apparently that's a thing people do, please go to facebook.com/PPodcasts, all one word, and give us a like and check us out there. Okay, so
and then remember, say, where's my damn new iPhone?
Yep, it's coming.
All right, so why don't we get to, we've asked you guys for so much, to join Sturgoy Team 7, and you guys are wonderful. Why don't we get to, well, we got a great new iTunes review this week. Catfish, why don't you read that one?
I will indeed. It is by MurfDog001. That's 001.
Heck yeah.
It's a 5-star review, and he says, a podcast you need when watching The Strain.
Oh.
Awesome podcast. These guys make me continue hate watching The Strain. Love their witty perspective on the show. They catch potholes that I might have missed, as well as pointing out other maddening subplots. In parentheses, Nikki, ugh. Got Your Milk has made my short list of podcast subscriptions. Ooh, subscribe.
Wow. Ooh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Murf Dog.
Thanks, Murf Dog, for becoming a member of Strigoi Team 7. You get to go to Facebook and like the page.
Your first mission as a member of Strigoi Team 7.
It's not like we're asking you to go to Eldridge Palmer's building.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say before this episode, I put out a tweet, and my Twitter handle is @fitandtrim, and I put out a tweet, and I said, I want the strain predictions. And my prediction for this episode was, the question was, how will F screw up the killing of Palmer? And my guess was, in the previous episode, he had shown he had a sore shoulder. And so I thought because of that, F would miss the shot and kill Coco, which is actually pretty darn close to what happened. But obviously, you saw the episode and you know what happens, but we got a great Twitter response. Mork, why don't you read this?
This is from Dad Z, @DadZ. He shows up still drunk after the master sends a hooker to get him wasted on coke and hooch.
Yeah, that's how he predicted F would screw up the killing.
This is not what Dad Z did.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God.
You know, Dad Z probably should have. Do as I say, not as I do. That's Dad Z's suggestion.
I'm not going to ask why Dad Z came up with that theory exactly, but he did, and it's a good one.
All I know is F would not have been angry had that been the case.
Who would have been angry? Now, I do have one small quibble, though, with
What's that?
With your prediction there,
yeah,
Bubba.
Let's hear it.
F killed Palmer's heart.
Did listeners notice how the volume level slowly drops?
Well, it's...
Oh, my Lord.
That is a good point, though. He took away Palmer's heart, and this whole ridiculous shenanigans, him acting like a love-struck teen, lovesick teen,
like a schoolboy.
Yeah, and our good friend Romy134, he saw that, my prediction, and he or she tweeted out, the assassin of past episodes leads me to believe that F will try to kill Palmer, so I fully expect Palmer to live. Yeah, good call there, Romy. This is ridiculous. So our friends at Geek Girl Soup, look what they said, Catfish.
Yeah, they said George Jefferson approves. # moving on up.
That's right. Upper East Side for Justine Ferraro and all her group. We also have Geek Girl Soup could not believe, our friends there, they could not believe that Coco was Palmer's first love.
And the Geek Girl Soup also mentioned the Strigoi dance party.
Right.
I love it. I love it because Strigoi love EDM. Nora does not.
But they also said they realized during the episode why the assassination plot went bad. And Geek Girl Soup, who's at Geek Girl Soup on Twitter, they tweeted out, F. Harvey Oswald wants a drink. Uh-oh.
Oh, man. But they also said, yes! Sorry, Coco.
Oh,
that is cold. Did they not know that Coco was not... Coco attracted more than one shriveled old man? And I'm talking about you.
Hey,
I'm talking about you, Bubba.
Hey, wait a minute. So I want to get to just a couple other tweets that hopefully we'll get to answer. Geek Girl Soup said, the master must really need Palmer if he was willing to save Coco. Do you guys agree with that? Why would the master give up his awesome essence to save, you know, this human that Palmer left?
Well, I'll say this, and that is that Eldritch has been sort of wimpily insistent before, and he has made some threats before, but he was really serious about this one. But that should lead us to another discussion, because I actually thought...
Yeah.
Well, I'll save it for a second. My favorite scene was one that I was surprised the people who were in the scene. So let's get to that.
Okay. Well, we got a couple other tweets I want to get to. Mork, you pulled one from the fire. Let's see it.
Oh, man. This is another great one from Geek Girl Soup.
Yeah, what they say.
What they are all saying is, Satrakian looks a little tired. Perhaps he needs some more eye drops.
Oh, I agree. You know, that's why...
Maybe that's why he got knocked out.
Just think, Palmer... If he had just known he could get eye drops, he wouldn't have had to do all this craziness. Just get some eye drops.
Yeah.
And then Geek Girl Soup, they're so tough, they tweeted out, Coco didn't die. I feel terrible for us viewers. Hey, wait a minute. And Coco looks horrified too, so she was upset that she survived.
Well, just think about it. Coco's like, oh, great. If she put it all together, she's like, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be 30. And Eldridge is going to be 80.
Oh, wow, that's tough. And then Court, another great member of Strigoi Team 7 on Twitter. Court, who's at Gendevieve, she tweeted out, "Look, Strain, you have till the end of this episode to make this Coco Palmer mess make any kind of sense."
The end of this episode, that is hopeful. Yeah. I don't think they're going to have it make sense by the end of this season. But again, it would be great if, I'm just going to pretend that the subtext of when Coco woke up and was horrified was, "I'm undercover and now I'm dead. This is amazing. And I'm stuck with Eldridge."
Right. What is the worst undercover? Sleeping with an old man, getting shot, drinking the master's juice. I mean, this is a tough assignment. This is deep, deep undercover.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
So if people want to join Strigoi Team 7, all you have to do is tweet with the hashtag GotYourMilk or GotYourMilkPodcast, either hashtag, and it's great. Mork, if they want to tweet at you, how do they tweet at you?
They can hit me up at Extraordinary, which is extraordinary with a W in front of the last R.
And you can hit me, Catfish, up at CJGman67. That's your 67th favorite, CJGman.
And everybody knows me, Bubba. I am about, let's see it. Oh my God, I'm exactly 35 followers away from 500 followers.
What? Oh my God, amazing. I think more background people have died on this show this year than the number of Twitter followers you have.
Just broke Twitter.
So you can find me at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM. All right, so let's get to it. Mork, what was your favorite scene, your UV light scene of the episode?
My UV light scene was the scene in a James Bond movie that we all hate, but it worked perfectly in this because Palmer shows up, F's already in jail, F's tied up, a Palmer walks in and they have their business and he walks out. It was great. I was glad they got together. A little witty banter and actually not as much homoeroticism as I would have liked.
How about you, Catfish? UV light scene, you were mentioning it just a second ago.
Well, and then Mork went and stole it because I have to say, as much as I dislike F, the needling back and forth between him and Eldridge was great. Eldridge like, "You're nobody, this is a waste." And F is like, "Okay, but you're pretty much a lackey. You know that, right? You're a lackey." And so I thought there was some good, a little tete-a-tete between them.
It reminded me of when my parents were still together.
Okay,
all right. Moving on.
Stop. All right. So my UV light scene, my favorite scene of the episode, featured some of our favorite characters. So my favorite scene was a scene that featured Bolivar and the Ancient Ones and Strabone.
Oh yeah,
and Gus.
Yep.
And the Silver Angel
and Chloe O'Malley.
And Chloe O'Malley. Yes, my favorite scene. No, where are those people? Or the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly? We haven't seen Gus in forever. We haven't seen Strabone, Quinlan in forever.
Yeah.
My favorite scene actually was just past your scene, guys. Last season, in episode 1, I always talk about how there was a scene in the back of a police car where Gus was opposite his buddy who was turning, and that should have been tense. That should have been fun. When all the Strigoi attack the police station, that was tense and fun. Admittedly, I could see where it was going from a mile away. That, okay, all the cops who are holding F will be killed. Then they'll all be focused on F, and then they'd be killed from behind. But it actually was tense. The fact that the Strigoi tongues were just inches away from F and the what I like to call hero cop who decided to save himself by locking himself up. That was great. That was a tense scene. That was my UV light scene of the week.
Well, I don't want to burst your necticles, but...
Oh, no.
I was wondering, I enjoyed that, but I was wondering the entire time, wait a minute, this is during the day. How did all of these little Strigoi sneak in? It's a beautifully lit, a lot of natural light in police stations, like all police
but
stations.
But not a lot of UV light.
But how did they get in there? How did they survive?
That is a great question. Well, the master visited Coco during the daylight because that window there at Palmer's office was, but apparently that window has UV light shading, remember, and so... You know,
but he didn't trip the UV attack alarm.
No, but also, what would have been great, is if that cop who was in there with F, if we'd had one last scare of him like coming alive, and then they'd shot him or done something, it could have been funny or scary or something, but they just blow right by that.
Right, just like they knock on Satrakian's head once he finally finds the Akido Lumen, because we don't want to get to this damn book, this MacGuffin we've been hunting for all season, until, what, the second to last episode?
Although it looks like the guy who, I mean, I don't want to ruin anything, but it looks like the guy who knocks him on the head decides to stick around for a while to talk to him next
week.
Right,
nothing like that. Okay, so let's get to spilt milk scenes. Mork, if it's okay, I'm going to have you go first again. Do you have a spoiled milk, a spilt milk scene?
Just don't take mine again.
Oh, that is a tough
You know what, I'm going to go first,
yeah,
just
go first.
So he doesn't steal it from me. Mine is going to be the horrible, boring scene on the roof between Dutch and F. What's amazing is she tries to give him all these attributes that he still does not live up to. You're not as, you're more interesting than I thought you were.
You look good, you look sexy now trying to kill somebody.
It's like she's trying to hit on him, and again, I don't know if he doesn't get it, he's too drunk. He's too drunk to be interesting or even hit back on her. He's really just, like, they didn't write no interesting dialogue for him there. They could have added to his character, and instead the whole time he's pretty much,
I agree with you 1,000%. F is the worst kind of drunk, a boring drunk.
Well, is that your spoiled milk scene, Mark? What do you got?
No, it's not. It goes back to moving on up to the east side. I love the line, but you know, the councilwoman and that whole thing, and the people on the upper east side. I don't care. It just slows everything down. And
wait a minute, the mayor is worried that this, you know, that this 99% attack on the 1% is going to hurt him in the next election.
Right.
Because you worry about the next election when you're in the middle of a zombie vampire apocalypse.
Well, also, why doesn't she just say, okay, I'm out of here. Well, you know what, whatevs, I'm leaving you behind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous to have, also to set that up as two different scenes. Just make it one scene.
She came back.
It's ridiculous.
To rub it in.
They shot the scene on the same day. Let's just make it the same scene.
Well, we don't know that. Some of them could have been real Strigoi and needed to get out of there.
My spilt milk, spoiled milk scene of the week. It wasn't an actual scene. It was the show open. Last week they introduced a new show open. Like cartoon, you know, like a comic book look styled open with the characters.
That was pretty cool, yeah.
It lasted all of 1 week.
Well, maybe they're doing
it. And they went back to the same old, I guess that's ammonia worm slime crawling up the blood or whatever it was. And so that, I was so excited to see the new show open again. And the fact that we will now apparently never see it again, that was my spilt milk scene of the week.
Bubba, I got to pull you off that ledge, man.
We got
one more episode. Let's just hold off.
I think we got at least two more in this season.
Well,
I don't know how many, but we got two more.
Fair enough.
Let me tell you guys, I want to quiz you guys, because we're going to get into the episode right now, and I want to quiz you guys. What is the only thing that matters? Is it A, the Akido Lumen? It's the only thing that matters. Or is
it there's another thing.
Or is it B, the Master? The Master is the only thing that matters. Or is it C, I've got to kill Eichhorst. Let me go kill Eichhorst. It's the only thing that matters. So which is the, you know, admittedly, you can flip a coin per the episode, but what is the only thing that matters in this season? Mork, you're up first. A, B, or C?
I'm going with Akido Lumen because we don't know. Satrakian doesn't know exactly who the Master is right now. It could be anybody. So, you know, he's got to start over. Eichhorst, he's wounded Eichhorst a couple of times now. You know, he in the subway, they got him once. They shot him, three times last week? No problem. So, you know, they're getting the hang of it. They're going to get him eventually. So, basically, that one's halfway crossed off the to-do list. So, really, it's Akido Lumen.
All right. How about you, Catfish?
Well, you know, I kind of want to answer your question with a question. Now, do you feel like you never agree with Satrakian?
Let me tell you, I always agree with Satrakian. We're going to do a podcast. Now, in this podcast, it's been known to kill everyone, all of my friends. I mean, anyone. But that's the only thing that matters is this podcast.
Well, I just want to say, Satrakian said something tonight.
Oh, really?
And I just wanted to get to tell you my reaction to it. Sage Satrakian at one point says, he doesn't give a shit about Dutch or F. And I just want to say, I half agree with him.
How could you, Catfish?
Whoa.
They knew what they were doing. The only thing that matters is Alkanolumen. Or if I decide otherwise, the Master. Or if I am in a bad mood, Satrakian. Or, I mean, no, I'm Satrakian. I mean, of course.
This pasta sucks. It's the only thing that matters is that it has the right seasoning.
Can you imagine being on a fantasy football team with Satrakian? It would not be fun.
You're right. The only thing that matters is the WR3.
Okay, so guys, why don't we follow Coco, because she had the roughest episode. So it begins with probably the worst part of the episode. She has escaped for a day back to Brooklyn, and the old man has tracked her down. Yeah. So up on the...
You thought she'd gotten as far away as she possibly could by being up on the third floor with no elevator. I thought she was safe from him.
It's a pretty good plan.
No, but sure enough, he finds her and he starts apologizing to her. Now, admittedly, it was only a couple episodes ago, but do either of you guys remember why she was so mad at Palmer?
Yeah. Because he wouldn't share things with her. He had secrets from her, and he told her, get out of the room. Do it now. And she was very upset. Let me tell you something. She played him like a fiddle. And the reason why I want to stick with this undercover thing is because they never at any point indicated that Coco had any kind of psychological issues. She had no daddy issues or granddaddy issues.
I think it was pretty clear.
I
think they indicated when she woke up with him.
Okay, all right.
In the morning,
I mean, besides
in fact, some daddy
Wait,
issues.
Wait, hold up. Let me
and granddaddy
let me,
issues.
Let me stand up for Palmer. Remember, the golden rule, boys, is that the girl can be half your age plus 7 years. So you divide your own age by half, and then add seven. So how old do you think Palmer is?
So by your calculation, Coco is 192 years old.
Hey, now wait a minute. Wait, how old do you guys honestly think Palmer is supposed to be?
He's only probably about 20 years younger than Satrakian.
Right.
And we know Satrakian was. 20. Well, we want to say Satrakian is about 90 now. Yeah, 90. So he's 70. I'd say 70 or 80.
All right.
So Coco would have to be 42.
Right. So you divide. Say he's 70.
Right.
You divide that in half. That's 35. Add 7 years to it. Mm-hmm. That's 42. So are you saying Coco isn't 42?
I am not.
Some online
but I am saying this. My prediction now is that her thesis was on the play Oedipus.
Yeah, she's a playwright. Remember at Boston College?
Yeah, no.
One of her parents was French, and the other. Okay, dear God. Okay. Yeah.
By the way, we found out tonight the actress that plays her is really honest to God French from Paris, France. Which, by the way, they had to go out of the country. They're like, okay, we're going to cast this role, and this woman is going to have to pretend to get down. We're going to have to go to France.
That's why they named her Coco.
All right. So, sure enough.
Wait, no, you made a horrible joke about Coco
what
tonight.
What do you mean?
Come on, Bubba.
Well, I'll get to that in a second. So, anyway, so Palmer sweet talks her. He gets her back to the office where, sure enough, who shows up but the mayor. You know, what was so funny is he's like, he gets her back there. And we're actually watching the episode from this scene from F's perspective as he and Dutch are spying on him. Mm-hmm. And so he's back there. He's like, look, your desk hasn't moved. What, in a day? You're like, look, your desk is still right there, honey. And she's like, but I think the phone rings. He's like, answer the phone.
You know, though, at this point, she has got all the power, right?
Yeah.
She should say, you mean your desk is still there.
Exactly.
Right. So the mayor comes
in. Do you want some of this? Would you like a sip of hot cocoa?
A delicious wet cocoa. So...
I'm gonna cry.
The mayor comes in and the mayor's complaining about.
Don't cry into your cocoa. You'll water it down.
I think I know how they try to teach abstinence in schools.
How's that, Mark?
It's by showing Palmer and Coco together.
Hey, now. So the mayor comes in. He's like, Ferraro's causing trouble. Can you get there? And Palmer's like, yes, we'll get there at 3 o'clock, alert the press, because I, you know, he's always about press for some reason, mm-hmm. even though he's going to let the vampires take over, apparently. Yeah. In the 2 days before the humans are all dead, he wants good press.
Listen, he's got to put some more stuff up on his wall. He needs more clippings.
Right. So, anywho, sure enough, Coco and he go to the Upper East Side to a deluxe, apparently a former department store in the sky.
It's a beautiful department store.
As he's there, he's answering questions. There's a shot rings out. Coco gets killed, and Coco makes the best dead victim, doesn't she? She. What did you say about that, Mark? Because she really, really played dead there on the old...
No, I think it was... Well, this... Okay, here's the question. Here's the question for the gang and Strigoi Team 7. Who has the hottest resting corpse face? Is it Coco or Kelly?
Ooh.
That Ooh. Is the question.
Oh, that is a that Coco is a or Kelly. Very tough
question. I don't
think I ever saw corpse. Kelly's arresting corpse face.
Oh, Matt from Sears had 6 or 7 wallet-sized photos.
I mean, Palmer saw arresting corpse face several times.
Well, poor Palmer.
So they don't bring her to a hospital, of course.
No
not.
Need.
Instead, no need. No Instead, need.
He's got the best care in the city. Yeah, I'd be honest about
yeah.
it.
So he brings her to his office.
Sure.
And
it was at this point that I realized, to my severe frustration and anger, that
anger.
You, Bubba, were Me. Correct.
That I called this. Okay, so actually, because during this scene, I'm like, or actually maybe before she was killed, I was like, well, what if he... you know, has the master turn her or save her somehow. And so, sure enough, Eichhorst comes in as they're operating on sweet, sweet Coco. And Palmer's demanding it. He's like, we're partners. I demand he come and help and save Coco. The master's got to come or there'll be big trouble. And Eichhorst, he gave a very dramatic pause and then he had a great mic drop line that said it all. Catfish, what did he say?
Yes, he said... You are demanding
no,
that
no, no,
the
no,
master...
No, 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 I'd like you to do it in a Cajun accent, please.
No. I have to do it in the fake German accent.
All right, imagine it's a Cajun German.
All right, poor man's Christoph Waltz.
You are demanding that the master come here and release his own divine and invaluable essence just so you can continue fornicating with your secretary.
I think
I will
was...
pass along the message.
That was
you laughed at that line, Catfish. You loved that line. That was your highlight.
That is the best line. It was a mic drop. Boom.
It was pretty good. I think it was more like fornicating. But yeah.
And though we're then you know, we kinda talked to this about this before on Geek Girl Soup's tweet. Let's speculate. Why did the master do it? What exactly is Palmer actually doing at this point?
Oh, okay. See, this is why this podcast is helping people enjoy and love the show. Because I just had a thunderbolt, guys. I just had a
Let's
thunderbolt.
Let's hear it.
Okay, you're both right. I think she's a plant, but I think she's a plant from the master.
Now that would be something.
So she was already got the juice.
Now I disagree with that because what she was trying to uncover was not, which she was trying to find out what Eldridge was doing with the master.
Well, but
she doesn't need to find that information if she's connected with the master
already.
All right.
Well,
hold on.
Now
I'll go down this rabbit hole. So. The master wasn't sure that he could trust Palmer completely.
Who could?
So he plants Coco there.
Mm-hmm.
Then
mm-hmm.
when Coco is planted there, he finds out, guess what? Palmer has his office outfitted with special UV lights and kind of like a tub that he can drop Strigoi into. And that's what, you know, RIP Strigoi Team 6 fell into. And so that's how he finds out about it.
Yeah, but he didn't need Coco for that. Coco didn't need to give that information, right?
And poor man's poor man's Tim Gunn already told the master about that, presumably about the trap. It was just a shot in the dark. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't an idea.
All right.
I guarantee you that both my idea and your idea are more interesting than the actual
setup
on the show.
And also, you know what's about to pay off, guys?
What's going to pay off?
In a big way? Fitzwilliam's brother.
Okay.
I think it's going to pay off in a big way. Just laying the groundwork.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Laying the groundwork.
Yeah, actually, I think you wouldn't cast an actor that well known if he wasn't going to pay off unless you're on the strain.
You know, I will say this. It turns out after watching Fitzwilliam on the sci-fi show that he's a regular on,
yeah.
I was watching an ad. Apparently, he's also at least a recurring on yet another sci-fi show. So he is too busy up in Canada to be shooting any of the strain.
Could it all be woven together, though?
Right. It's a shared universe.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, guys.
All right. So,
all I'm saying.
So let's follow Coco. Coco, the master shows up. He gives her the white. She sees Bolivar.
Yeah.
And then Palmer comes completely clean. He's not keeping any secrets. Is that going to have her love him more because he's not sharing secrets?
First of all, though, it was a little suspicious to me.
Oh, now you're seeing the light.
That she says.
The UV light.
Was that Bolivar?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she
hairless.
Saw Bolivar, without the wig, but she had seen Bolivar with the wig
genitalist.
As Palmer's bodyguard, remember? So, maybe. But is that going to make her love Palmer more now that he's not hiding secrets? Or is it going to be like, who the blank have I been blanking?
I think it's going to be, why the blank have I been blanking this blank?
Yeah. What if she...
I think it would be, I'm so blanking blank, I don't need to blank this blank anymore.
I can't believe I let that blank put his thing in my blank.
Well, listeners...
I'm glad you said thing instead of blank. Otherwise, I would have been confused.
I'm sorry. I meant Bolivar. Sorry. I meant Bolivar.
So, listeners, I just want you to know we're using blank instead of effing because, you know, you might get confused if she was like, ooh, have I been effing? And wait a minute, F, what's he got to do with it?
He's got something to do with it.
All right, so predictions, guys. There's only two or three more episodes left this season. Will Coco and or Palmer survive? Or who's going to die? Let's have your predictions. Let's start off with you, Mork. Are they both going to survive, both going to die? One lives, one dies. Palmer and Coco, what's up?
One lives, one dies.
Do you want to name which ones? Or?
I'm going to say Palmer dies.
That's a good call. All right, Catfish, how do you feel on this?
Yeah, I don't see why we need Palmer around anymore. I don't see what he's doing. I mean, I guess we need him because they still need some good press.
They need good press. They need good
writers. Have we speculated on whether Coco is a book character? We think she's not a book character,
yeah,
right?
I've said I don't think she's a book character, but I don't know.
I think they're going to have a lot of story to plow through to get rid of her, considering how much time they spent setting her up.
And saving her in tonight's episode.
Yeah, so, but I think they can do it. I think they can get rid of her by the end. And I think Palmer's going to stick around for a while. Because obviously, for some reason, they're keeping us away from the master. I thought when Bolivar became the master, my reaction was, and you'll remember this from listening to the podcast a couple times.
I can't tell you how well I remember that.
Is that I thought when Bolivar became the master, I said, good, we'll see the master more. That has proven not to be the case.
Not at all. So, okay, so just so I'm clear, Mork says Palmer is going to say goodbye to the internal life, that son of a bitch, while you...
And I say, Coco is going to face the prospect of 500 years of Eldridge Palmer, and she is going to expose herself to so much UV light that there will not be one iota left of her.
All right, I'm going to go... You know what? I'm going to go, they both live. Has anybody picked that? I think it is a bit crazy.
I don't think so. Let me check. Yeah. Let me check. No.
Doesn't look like it.
So I'm going to say they need Palmer to keep talking to somebody because Eichhorst and the Master aren't good conversationalists.
You know what's still left? There's two things still left.
What's that?
One is that they both die. Ooh. And the other one is we stop watching and we never find out the answer.
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa.
All right.
Never.
So, guys, let's now follow.
I will put the white in you.
Let's.
So you have to watch.
Guys,
this.
Let's follow Team Satrakian. Abraham Satrakian, yeah. The only thing that matters. So Wilson's bread truck is going through apparently four names of people who might have the Akado Lumen. The four people with that name in the White Pages there at New York City. Mm-hmm. And so they've gone to one that we didn't get to see, and they've crossed them out. And then the second...
Shouldn't they know, whenever you make a list like that, you go to the last one first. It's always the last one. Go to the last one first.
All right, so they go to the second place. We didn't see the first one. They go to the second place, and sure enough, it is the Strigoi dance party. It
basically, is, yeah. If you weren't able to go to Burning Man, this is what you missed.
I did just come back from Burning Man, and let me tell you, this was frighteningly familiar.
Yeah.
This is what I heard at 3 in the morning every day.
Yeah, I don't want
and
to
so, Satrakian has brought Vasily Fett, who is wearing his badge, drink, and sexy Nora. And Fett and Nora make so much a better team than the other teams. You know
and
what I mean?
I will say this, that it really has seemed like they've been getting them to come closer together. So the fact that Dutch is talking about her, I mean, this could become some crazy four-way poly action between them.
I like that.
Or is Nora set up to be between the two male heroes once Dutch goes...
Satrakian and Palmer?
No, between F and Fett.
Sorry.
Because Dutch may not be long for this series after we saw what happened to her. But anyway, were you tense? Did you like the exciting drug den rave Strigoi bite down?
Yeah.
Did you like that the Strigoi, when it's our heroes, their tongues just can't aim straight?
Yeah, I think we have to have a new monster attack our heroes because they never seem they need tongue worm lessons around them.
They're so inept. And again, this is the same thing that happened when F
time?
Was in jail. It's like when they're flicking those tongues out, aren't there any like stray worms coming off of those things?
Apparently not.
Apparently it's very hygienic when the tongue comes out.
They might be out of worms. They might need to reload the worms.
So they go to the second place, mm-hmm. and this is where I had one of my...
The third place.
Yeah,
well, sorry,
the third place.
Sorry, they go to the third place, and this is where I was close to the ledge, Mork.
No.
It's a book dealer's place. They go upstairs to look through the book dealer's place, and while you're searching through somebody's apartment illegally, it's always smart to turn on the radio news, just in case.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, news radio?
Yeah. Only for a minute, and then turn off immediately when you hear just a snippet.
Once you get that information, you don't want any more information. It's time to leave right away.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you got to act. You got to act, and you don't want to be confused by more information.
And so, wait, they know what they're doing. Keep searching for the book.
But for Silly Fett, I've got my badge. That's Dutch. And you didn't tell me, Fett? No, Nora, I did not tell you. So do you agree with Fett and Nora's thought process of, okay, this book may help us kill the master and save the city, but first we got to go save our friends?
I guess here's my big question is, how did they find them exactly? Did they know there's only one precinct
New
York City? Like, how do they know to go to that?
Because they get that connection now. Remember, they helped the police out. They turned them on to the whole UV light thing. Fett's got connections. And in fact, at the beginning of that scene, I heard him say, I heard somebody in the background say, I just talked to him for a few minutes. And I actually thought that was Fett. And then it turned out not to be.
Okay. All right.
Do you think maybe they just went to every police station, Fett has a badge, and they're like, okay, let them in.
They got a badge and a bread truck. I think they need everything. They got everything they need. Yeah.
All right. So they leave, and poor Satrakian's all by himself, and he is looking through this book dealer's place, and he opens up a beautiful piece of furniture, which has a mirror in it. And sure enough, that mirror, I forget who called it, I think it was me, said, okay, we're going to see a Strigoi in the mirror.
But I, thought that you couldn't see Strigoi in the mirror, so that turns out to be false, along with many other things, like how you're supposed to kill them.
So, sure enough, did you find this scene tense, where Abraham sees it, he ducks, the tongue goes right above him, and he spins around and slices the guy open?
No, it didn't seem very tense.
Also, did he find something on the body that said, like a little medikit bracelet that says, I live here, so if I'm not the guy you're looking for, you can just leave?
No, that's a good point. I had the same thing, and then Bubba reminded me.
Uh-huh. Right. Apparently the guy who has the Akado Lumen, when he was a little kid, Abraham Satrakian knew him, and he had a burnt, like, melted ear.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So if the guy didn't have a burned ear and also a Medicare bracelet that said, I'm the guy who lives here, so since I don't have a burnt ear, you can stop looking. That's my issue. He's like, oh, it's not him. He must live here. Otherwise, how could anyone else have gotten in?
I think Satrakrian, who knows a lot about men's fashion, realized that those clothes fit the clothes hanging in the closet perfectly. So that was the true resident.
Thank you, Mork. I'm off the ledge again. So we go to the fourth place.
That's all it takes to get you off the ledge.
Nothing pure logic. So we go to the fourth place. And it's at this fourth place where hardwood floors, they look so pretty, but they squeak, people.
But
they
do. The way to find out if they squeak is to just angrily wave your sword in the air in frustration. Where are you?
It's a magical sword. It divines water and squeaking floorboards.
And so there it is, the all-silver-bound book, the Akedo Lumen. Even though other people pronounce it different ways, like Ocedo.
I think it's Oxedo.
Yeah, Oxedo.
No, I know. Nobody's ever had it with the person today, Ocedo Lumen, whatever. Like, it didn't have the Akedo. It had the Ocedo. I mean, yeah. So anyway, we open up the book. We see a lot of words, what I assume is in Latin or Hungarian, because one of them did say, what did it say, vampire with Stagoy anatomy, or what did that one picture?
Anatomy with an IE. That's the old English. Anatomy. And a lot of pictures of...
Everyone seems so happy in those pictures.
Tongue worms coming out. You saw a lot of tongue worms.
Yeah, and a lot of serfs and peasants killing Stagoy. That's how easy it was to kill in the old days.
Yeah, the good old days.
They had UV back then, didn't they?
Oh, good point.
It was all over.
And so, sure enough, right when we get this stupid MacGuffin we've been looking for all season long, who comes up behind him but somebody who's going to just knock him out and delay this even further.
Yeah.
You know what? Theoretically, they could have just shown him going to the last guy, right? They didn't show the first one. Why show the other two?
That is true, but I think any time you get to see Satrakian waving his sword around and growling at nobody and nothing, we learn a lot about his character and the history of the Stagoy.
Yeah, we learned a lot about the history of the Stagoy tonight, Mork. Great point. All right, so let's get to the final storyline. That is a couple which seem to flirt, but have no chemistry. It's Dutch and F. And so the first time we see them, somehow they're set up in some nice apartment/penthouse with a great view of Stoneheart Group and Palmer's office. And they have a lot of equipment. Where did all that equipment come from? Don't ask, because the show won't tell. And so they have a bit of banter, and they have that bit that you were so fond of, Catfish, about finding out more about Dutch's life. And it's like, hey, you can love more than one person.
Yeah, it's
right?
True. Yeah.
Do you guys agree with Aussie's philosophical love lesson that, hey, you can love everybody? Doc, didn't you want sexy Nora even when you were married?
I'll just put it to you this way. I'm starting my own zoo.
Let's not respond to that.
I'm not even sure what that means.
I know. That was a Mork special right there. I was going to see how long I could just not respond to that bit of pointlessness before Mork broke himself.
No, please don't, because at some point he'll justify it and it's going to be even worse.
Okay.
Listen, I will this is why I like Dutch.
She was talking about the damn monkeys. Like,
that's true.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This is why I like Dutch, because essentially she's a dude. She's like, look, two's okay, right? I can do two. There's nothing wrong with two.
Right. Now, Mork,
she is the hottest dude I have ever seen on broadcast. Sorry, cable network station.
Mork, I got to give it up to you.
Very
few people would try to set up a joke about the infamous pygmy chimpanzees and somehow just, by saying the word zoo, expect everybody to get it.
Well, why else? Why else would I start a zoo?
All right. So sure enough, they are listening. Theoretically, the rifle, there's no way it could shoot. Maybe the Stoneheart Group has bulletproof glass. But they find out that, hey, Palmer's going to be here at 3, and they get a move on to the roof. That's where they have a scene that one of you guys really hated, where Dutch is talking about, boy, you're sexy now.
I hated that scene so bad. Also, I think, now we've got to be careful, because I may have looked away for a second, but doesn't F, like, like see someone from far away and they notice him and he kind of hides. And isn't that the guy who later on recognizes him? The guy who sees him from like 300 feet away?
No.
It's not him.
Two different guys. So okay, yeah. All right. They get out
so
of
the guy who recognized him.
Yeah, so the logic of the show remains 100% perfect.
Perfect. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so let's get it. So the Palmer and Coco pull up. They get out of their SUVs there. And one of the security personnel of Stoneheart Group looks towards the building. And so F and Dutch duck down. They don't want to be seen.
Sure. Good thing they
Then, you know, we have to have 5 minutes of F rather than just going up and stabbing the guy, you know, trying to hit him with a sniper rifle. Finally, he shoots. Then we go to commercial. Then we come back from commercial and they're running down the stairs. And sure enough, the police have so much going on. You're telling me there's enough police to respond this quickly to this incident? But apparently there is.
Well, but see, because that's why there's so many police able to respond to this incident, because they're not responding to the 99%. They're there for the 1%.
Right. So they go, Dutch and Fett duck.
Look. What you don't understand is those police were looking for any black ex-tennis players on the streets of New York.
Hey, no. Current events. No. They were looking for a guy in a ski cap, apparently. Yeah. And so Dutch has F ditch the ski cap, and she puts her head on his shoulder. Aww. And they start walking casually. But because F is a typical New Yorker and bumps into somebody on the sidewalk, he's suddenly guilty. And this cop, this goateed, hair-done cop, notices them. There's a chase. They're caught.
So how does he, are we to assume he recognizes F from what? Because as we all know, the cutting off his hair made him unrecognizable to any police.
Maybe he's been searching for Jonathan Crowley for months. Ever think about that, Catfish?
That's a good point, Mark, in his face.
Thank you.
So sure enough, they get brought to the police station.
Fornication?
They get brought to the police station, and somehow Palmer has a lot of power. He can have Dutch taken away by his own security forces, and or he can have the whole police precinct empty out so he can go mano a mano with F. And this was scene both you guys love. Why don't you tell me, you know, some of your favorite lines or what you loved about it so much?
Zoo.
Okay.
Oh no. Okay. No. What I loved was essentially, is F calling out exactly what Palmer knows and is trying to deny, that he's basically a lackey of the master.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I mean, F usually isn't sharp and doesn't say the right thing, but he finally at one point says the exact right thing to say to Palmer, which is, you are crazy if you think this guy is 50-50 with anybody.
Right, but is Palmer, that notion gets disproven from him. He might have thought that, but then it was after then when the master gave the white to Coco. So I don't think that message would sink in. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, I think it's exactly what... No, I agree with Catfish on this. Yeah, it's what he's afraid of. It's why he's been, you know, doing the gamesmanship, the little Game of Thrones with Eichhorst and anybody else who might stand in the way. And he's basically neutralized Eichhorst now. But, well, yeah, the master's left.
Well, how about this?
The master could still fuck him.
Palmer has not known love his whole life. And so he didn't care that, you know, he was like, look, I'm going with the side that wins. Species, you know, wipe out other species all the time. Go with the winner. But now that he has a love in his life, is it possible in these final couple episodes that he'll switch sides because he, quote unquote, has a reason to live rather than just living forever?
Well, now that Coco is on the side that he'd already chosen, I think he's even more firmly entrenched in that. I mean, now, she's in the same situation he is because, you know, I mean, we assume so, right? She wasn't dead, so the white was able to heal her and make her not brain dead anymore. I mean, not any more than she already was. I mean, she was a theater major at Boston College.
And she slept with Palmer.
So that's, I don't know whether that's two or three strikes, but we're pretty close.
Yeah.
All right, so long story short, they're freed. Nora and Fett, don't ask how, find them in New York City.
Well, they find them, they find F.
They find F, that's what I mean, sorry.
Dutch is gone.
And so why don't we we haven't had a reenactment in this podcast yet. So why don't we have a reenactment of Dutch and poor man's Christoph Waltz, Ike Horse, in their first kind of penthouse, snuff room, throwdown.
So you want a little what? 50 Shades of Dutch?
Shades of Dutch. Let's see it from you two. Let's see it right now.
All right. Why'd you tie me up in here there, mate?
Hold on, while I wind the chain some more. Windy, you like, yes?
You know, back in Perth, where I got my shrimp boat, I've got one of those cranks.
I'm going to keep winding, and this is not about fornication.
All right, mate, but you forgot to... the chain's not catching there. Nothing's happening. The chain.
This is a delightful shrimp I have on the barbie.
No, you just got to flip that switch there, mate. Just the button. No, just hit the button, please. Can someone please hit the button?
Your romantic entitlements, Dutch, don't mean anything to me. Oh, it's you, Eichhorst. I could kill you right now. But of course, the only thing that matters is Akino Lumen. Later, guys.
Hey, that guy looks really familiar.
Well, that was interesting. Hold on. I'm going to wind the chain some more.
Oh, all right.
Ed Seed. Okay, so you can tell next week's episode's going to be great.
Well, next week, you know.
I mean, it looks like there's going to be another 5 minutes of him winding that chain
before she's
going to be close.
It's a long chain.
Now, one of the things I talked about, though, and so there may be hope for Dutch, in that I kept saying, well, the Strigoi need human blood, I assume. Not just any blood, but human blood to feast on and live. And so there's got to be a way that the tongue worm can get you and not turn you. Because if it turns you, well, there goes all the food I was going to eat. So there's got to be a way that Dutch herself might be able to survive for a while without being turned just because her blood's being taken. And so that's my own guess. I know Dutch isn't a character from the
last
books,
time.
But
last time we were in that little room, there was a dude who'd been tied up in there for a while and knew what was coming. So yeah, she'll hang out for a little bit. But what I'm excited about getting to is now, while we haven't read the books, we know that Coco and Dutch were not in the books. We also know...
Wait, we know Coco? I know Dutch wasn't, but I'm not... I don't have proof that Coco was.
I'm a man of action. I'm just going to say
you're just going to say. Okay,
I'm
sure.
Just going to say. Yeah.
I'm going to guess, even though I haven't been a fan of a lot of things that happened, they've still been a lot better than the plunking down of Coco into this narrative along with her backstory. So I'm going to guess this was not a book character.
Well...
All right, well, Mark, go on with your point. You were saying.
Not a Strain book character.
Ooh.
But I happen to know that Coco and Dutch had their own series of novels, and we're going to do a reenactment from those next week.
Oh, well, there you go, listeners.
Wow. The Frenchie and the Aussie together again. I cannot wait. I cannot wait until we have more mangling of accents.
Hashtag Frenchie Aussie is a bestseller in Tonga.
All right, so guys, I don't know if there are two more or three more episodes, but the strain is...
But you're hoping that there's at least three more, aren't you?
Hell yeah.
And so let's just say it has improved a bit. We're going to have to get a payoff for the Silver Angel. We're going to have to get a payoff for Strabone. We're going to have to get a payoff for this pointless MacGuffin of the Akido Lumen. So I am really hoping that these next two or three episodes really bring it. I do want to have a guess. So I haven't guessed who I think would die this season. And it really feels like besides Fitzwilliam, who has died this season of consequence? So I want to go big, and I want to say that the person I think might die of our regulars, God, this is tough. I'll say because they've had such trouble with him, I'll go super off the board, and I'll say Zach. He He may not die, but he'll definitely be taken by the Strigoi.
So are you saying we're going to get Zach 3.0?
That would be great if he got taken by the Strigoi and then he was Zach
and they threw
3.0.
Back. They threw him back.
Or what if they go they back to the original one? Let's. Yeah. You know what? They should just go crazy and like they should have Chloe O'Malley come back as Zach for hey next
now.
Year.
There's no reason.
Hey now.
She's an amazing actress.
So that's my wild and crazy prediction is that, okay, let's say I'll go ahead and be bad and contradict myself. Dutch will die, and Zach will either be turned or will definitely be kidnapped. Either one or the other. What do you? I want some crazy predictions from you guys. Final couple episodes. What do you think?
All right. Well, my prediction is that since season one had 13 episodes, that season two also has 13 episodes.
It's deep.
And so
deep.
We've got three more episodes to go. And so my prediction is that Bubba kills himself.
Hey now, hey now. Not a major character like Bubba. You can't do the show without him. He's so good. Mork.
Who's going to upload the podcast?
Oh, God. You know, you guys are right. There are three more episodes. Okay, so Mork, yep. Let's hear a crazy prediction from you.
I'm going to say Satrakian dies and F is forced to kill Zach.
Ooh, Satrakian dying. I actually think that's a pretty good pick. So, guys, next week... We're on September 20th. We're going to have a new episode of The Strain, Dead End. You'll also have a Dead End. Boy, is that very so many storylines. It'll feature a lot of Gus, I would imagine, in Silver Angel. Slow cooking. So that's it for this week. You can reach me, Bubba, on Twitter, at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim. Help. Be one of the 35 people to get me to 500 Twitter followers on Twitter. How can people get you, Mork?
Extraordinary, and I'm not going to spell it.
That's a W before the last R. That's all you have to do. You can hit me up at CJGman67. I've got less Twitter followers than Bubba, but I'm okay with it.
And be sure to take some time away from working and go to facebook.com/doublepodcast. I believe you can leave messages there that are longer than a tweet. So if, for example, you're having, you know, if you are a hate, if you're a hate watcher, right, if you're a hate watcher and you don't want to write it in a review of the podcast or 35, you know, the number of characters is too small on Twitter, give us a message on Facebook too. So everybody, next week, we will be sure of some exciting action in the Mayflower Hotel with Eichhorst and Dutch, and you'll want to be ready for it with a nice, cool glass of something. And I know a couple guys who've
got your milk.
Happy Rosh Hashanah.